February 20th, and we are here today to have a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3630A. Does staff have anything to report?
No, Mr. Chair. I just want to refresh everybody's memory. Those are here for the first time. This is the foreclosure consultant equity conveyance and foreclosure notice bill that came to you from the mortgage lending work group. And we still have the Dash 3 amendment, which was the technical fix from the work group, and that was discussed at the hearing on the 18th. And it's my understanding, Mr. Chair, we're not doing the Dash A4 amendment. Is that correct?
It's my understanding that this is adequately addressed in the bill. We still certainly appreciate Liz's bringing this to our attention. That was great. Why the committee process is what it is, but we aren't watering down or downgrading punishments that would otherwise be metered out. So with that, I will open the public hearing on 3638 and ask that Mr. Grisham come forward, please. That is written very well. That is certainly my error. And Linda, yeah, come on up.
Good morning, Senators. Thank you for hearing the testimony this morning. My name is Rick Grimshaw. In my professional life, I'm in the investment business, have been for 25 years. And although I'm here representing my sister Linda, who's here as well, we're in support of House Bill 3630. There's a statement with attachments which was just provided. Linda unknowingly lost her home in Lincoln City in June 2006 to a foreclosure consultant who solicited her after seeing the public notice of default recorded in Lincoln County in one sitting in June 2006. My sister signed the following documents without understanding their meaning at all: a quitclaim deed, a one-year lease to purchase option agreement, and a Washington residential lease agreement. No contract for the foreclosure consultant services was provided. In the attachment, you'll see about the third or fourth page down, a single page handwritten that was the only thing the foreclosure consultant provided as to what his charges and
services. This hi, Linda?
On the left side there. Yeah. And literally the original is on notebook paper that looks like it comes out of a high school student's steno notebook. In signing all these documents, she lost the opportunity to sell her Lincoln City home in what in mid-2006 was a much stronger residential real estate environment, perhaps retain a $45,000 equity, which is netting out the consultant's charges. This represented Linda's only retirement investment. My sister is a self-employed hairdresser with an annual income of less than $40,000 and a single mother of two teenage boys. Her ex-husband has not paid child support for many, many years. She will tell you when you ask her that she was embarrassed to ask anyone else about the documents she signed, would certainly have had more time and more information about what she was doing had the provisions of this bill been in effect. Plus, under the legislation, she would have had the ability to reverse the transactions. A year later, the same foreclosure consultant, David Petrolia of AP Resources in Vancouver, Washington, sent her in the span of 4 months a series of documents, first terminating her lease, then offering to sell her home back to her for prices that began at $100,150 and escalated in a four-month period of time to $148,100. In late 2007 and early 2008, he then evicted her. Linda tried to apply for new financing with Countrywide Financial during this time. The most she could acquire as a loan was $99,000. It's a sad story. I'm sure you've heard many of them like this. The bill, I think, goes a long way to protecting innocent consumers who, like my sister, have had bad experience and just a high school education, work very hard every day to help people. But the world of real estate is not a world that is common or known to her. This was her first home purchase in 1999. I think, in my professional experience, the bill could be improved by requiring the same testing, licensing, and continuing education requirements that are now in place in this state for mortgage loan officers, because the foreclosure consultant is essentially a lender. They lend money to the borrower so that the homes are not foreclosed. In normal life, that would be probably a lien or a trustee, second trustee. Ironically, Linda is still on the Home Street Bank loan. She is still the borrower of record for the mortgage on the property. She vacated the property about a month ago. So, unfortunately, she has no asset, yet she retains the liability, which makes no sense whatsoever. Loan officer requirements include 20 hours of continuing education and is administered by the Business Services and Consumer Affairs Department. All of the rest of it is in the documents and the written statement. I'll stop there and see if you have questions of me. I merely summarized and provided the information, and Linda is certainly willing to answer more questions about her specific experiences. Thank you, Senators.
Just a brief question. You indicated that it would be strengthened by having licensing and continuing education requirements. How would that affect the predator who came from Vancouver, Washington?
It would not in this case, because he was from Washington.
And I'd like to ask Steph, and if somebody that we research, what is Washington's law respecting this kind of activity?
Yeah, I find it ironic that Linda signed a Washington rental real estate agreement for an Oregon property. She also consulted on my advice in January with an attorney in Lincoln County in Newport. She called the Oregon State Bar referral number. I actually helped find it. And he, after looking at the documents that you see, said, while unethical, it was certainly not illegal. And the only thing he could possibly see is violation of truth in lending requirements by providing the funds without any lending disclosures associated with them.
Any questions?
No.
Linda, would you like to say anything?
I think the bill would have helped me a year and a half ago.
Could you identify yourself for
Linda
the record?
Linda Grimshaw, Lincoln City, Oregon. I think the bill would have helped me understand what the quitclaim deed was. I met with this Petrolia guy, called him the next day, said, you know, with a week left before that bank got the house back, and went to a notary, and basically it was here, sign this, sign this, sign this, with no explanation. And had I known what the quitclaim deed was, I wouldn't have done it. And now, after the fact, had these other documents that you guys are putting on the table here been there, then I would have understood what I was signing. And that's the sad part, is, you know, I didn't ask for anybody's help at the time, and should have. But had I had these documents there, I would have at least had a little more knowledge as to what was being signed. The sad part is losing the equity, you know, in the house. It's gone now in a market that's getting better in Lincoln County, but, you know, it's not as good as it was 2 years ago. And I have several real estate clients that I probably could have called 2 years ago and said, hey, you know, I got a month to go. You know, let's get rid of this house as soon as we can. You know, but because of sense of pride, I suppose, and embarrassment, I didn't do it. You know, now I'm regretting the actions that I took. But at least this bill would have helped me immensely understand what was going on and what documents I had signed.
Yeah, I think every one of us in this room wishes we'd got to this issue, not just last session, but many years ago. I mean, it's a fairness and an equity issue, and we can all understand how you get into a little bit of a, quote, bad business deal, or then you're reluctant to seek help. Every one of us have gotten into that soup before. You know, that qualifies you as a human being.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's just true. So, well, thank you for coming to testify. We very much
appreciate
your input. You know, this is late in the session, and I am quite confident the governor is going to focus and hone his work group on lending practices, and we will be addressing this, you know, more comprehensively in the 09 session.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for coming all the way
up. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
You bet. That is all we have on the sign-up sheet. We do have a quorum, but we indicated
we
will recess for a very few moments. And
the back?
I'll have Teresa go through the email.
Okay. All right.
Ready?
We will reconvene the Senate Committee on Commerce and Labor, and it is still Wednesday, February 20th. I will open a work session on House Bill 3038 to consider the Dash 3 amendment, and if staff could give a brief overview. These are technical fixes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee members, they are technical fixes.
You can give the 101 Cliff Note version.
I will give the 101 Cliff Note version, yes. These are strictly technical amendments that were put together by the foreclosure lending work group. Highlights of the amendment include adding an additional exemption on the equity purchaser to the it would exempt persons whose employment with regard to a residential property matter that's under jurisdiction of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court, and that has been approved by the court for them to work on the equity purchase. It also clarifies that foreclosure notices must be mailed to the grantor and the property occupant if it's applicable by both first-class and certified mail, and also changes the term of grantee to beneficiary provisions that are relating to the rulemaking authority for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. But again, these are technical changes, and they have been approved by members of the work group.
Very good. The chair is desperately seeking a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move the A3 amendments to House Bill 3630A.
Senator George has moved the Dash 3 amendments into
A3 amendments
into House Bill 3630A. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. The chair is desperately seeking another motion.
Desperately. Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 3630A as amended with the A3 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved the House Bill 3630A as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I just want to put on the record, I know you did at the very beginning, we were looking at whether or not we needed an A4, which was going to address Section 18 of the bill. Based on everyone has had a chance to review it, it appears that we do not need that. And I just want to put on the record that this passage of this bill with the Section 18 is not to prohibit where the facts may be shown that an individual has violated either theft in the first degree or aggravated theft, that they can still be prosecuted for those criminal charges above and beyond what is provided for within this act regarding violations of other sections of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Prozanski. I think that was very appropriate to make sure that the record is clear on what we are intending. Any other no objection. Any other comments? Any other discussion?
Well, with that clarification, we're very supportive.
Mm-hmm. Any objections to moving House Bill 3630A as amended to the floor? Seeing none, with a due pass. Mm-hmm. So ordered. Chair will carry.
Mr. Chair, I hope you extended my apologies when I abruptly had to leave the room, that I needed to go testify on another bill in another room. That in our often this happens with members of committees, to where we're in our committee, and sometimes we're having a bill that's in another one, and it's not that I didn't want to stay to hear the testimony, but I did have another bill next door.
And that is very frequent in this period that we call sine die is imminent. We're all getting pulled pillar to post, as is staff, as is everybody. So, anyway, with that, we're adjourned.